I am Brother Cornell West, and this is
If I Can Save America.
Peace and love, everybody. It's your man, Manny Faces. Just wanted to let you know that Hip Hop Can Save America is now available as a live stream show every Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on YouTube. You can find it at hiphopcansaveamerica.com/watch. Excerpts from that show will be played here on the audio feed, so you'll still get the good interviews that you've been used to. But check out the live stream and check out my free Substack newsletter at mannyfaces.substack.com. That's filled with all kinds of stories of hip-hop innovation, inspiration, and generally hip-hop news that isn't about dumb shit. For everything Hip Hop Can Save America, hiphopcansaveamerica.com. For everything Manny Faces, mannyfaces.com. And if you find value in this work, you can support it. We'd love to have you aboard as a supporter at patreon.com/mannyfaces. Now let's go. On this episode of Hip Hop Can Save America, Jamila Sams breaks down how we can teach social and emotional learning through hip hop in educational spaces. Through her curriculum initiative, We Do It For The Culture. My name is Manny Faces. This is Hip Hop Can Save America. Let's go.
The thing about hip hop today is it's smart. It's insightful. The way that they can communicate a complex message in a very short space is remarkable. And a lot of these kids, they're not going to be reading the New York Times. That's not how they're getting their information.
My hip hop will rock and shock the nation. Hip hop culture is more than music.
Peace to you and speak the truth. Show them what peace can do when there reads for you.
My hip hop will rock and shock the nation.
Rap is something you do. Hip hop is something you live.
So hip hop didn't invent anything, but hip hop reinvented everything.
Jamila Sams, good to see you. Hello.
Peace. How are you, Manny?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing great now that we're here together in this space. I've given folks on the live stream a little bit of, you know, a little heads up on who you are and what you do. But if you could tell me how we do it for the culture.
Depends on who you're asking. So since you're asking me, what I do for the culture is I'm an educator for the culture. Everything I do is about using education as a tool for liberation. And hip hop is at the center of that. I'm the founder of Go to Miss Sams Incorporated, which is a consulting company, and we work with schools to create positive, productive, and equitable spaces for young people. And I also founded We Do It for the Culture, which is a culturally responsive social-emotional learning curriculum rooted in hip-hop culture for grades 6 through 12.
That's the main project right now, the curriculum. You've inserted this in schools throughout the country. Right. You're consulting and putting it in these spaces. So for lay people that might be coming into the room, some of us know who you are, so we'll leave them for a minute. But the folks that might be learning about your work for the first time, what is a curriculum that's rooted in hip hop culture and focuses on social and emotional learning, which is sort of the, the core of the competencies being served by this curriculum? What does that look like?
So I'll start with social-emotional learning. So that's the art of, you know, naming our emotions and managing our emotions for personal and societal change. We leverage hip-hop culture within social-emotional learning because at the root of hip-hop, it's all about making sure that we're amplifying the voices, particularly of people that are often not seen, not heard, and not valued. Right. And so when we center our voices within these five social-emotional learning competencies, we're able to really tap into the whole person. And so when you think about self-awareness, that's the first SEL competency. We connect that directly to the fifth element of hip hop, which is knowledge of self. And for me, knowledge of self has always been, even though it's the fifth element, I really believe it's the first element. Because
from which all elements flow.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And when you think about human nature, it starts with self-awareness. And then the other SEL competency, self-management, how we manage our emotions. So we look at hip hop culture as a tool for us to express ourselves through these various art forms. When we think about social awareness, hip hop has always been, you know, the apex for making sure that we are raising awareness about things that are happening, whether it's in our local communities or on a global scale. Then you have responsible decision making. For me, again, as a purist, hip hop for me has always been about education and elevation. And then last but not least, we have relationship skills. And everything about hip hop is connected to relationship skills, from being the DJ to breaking to being in a cipher. It's right. all connected. And so what we've done in the curriculum is that we leverage content that students want to talk about, and we connect it back to those five SEL competencies and those five elements of hip hop.
This is amazing stuff, because it's as I say to folks that do kind of the work that you know we try to do, or the stuff we try to get across to the world, but put it into a book. I had Dr. Toby Jenkins on, put in a curriculum, you know, what you're doing here. Y'all are able to package it in a way that makes so much sense and is so relatable, but also importantly enough, translates to the folks that aren't familiar with the culture.
Right.
And with our movements and our music and our, you know, way of being, our ethos translates it to that. That's the importance of doing this as a curriculum, right?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of schools do not have the resources. Sometimes even just teachers are struggling with the language in order to connect with students. And so because hip hop is universal and is touching all young people, no matter where you're from, I think just having that common language, the common culture, experiences that they want to talk about, then helps teachers to build deeper relationships with students. And so we kind of use that as a conduit for those conversations.
Again, for folks like us that maybe, you know, certainly like yourself, that have come up in not only hip hop culture, but Black culture, you know, this is, again, the ethos that you live with. But right. not every teacher comes from either of those cultures or communities exactly. or the Venn diagram where they intersect. So they might look at this, and I talk to, you know, music ed educators and regular folks who say, I might want to, I like the sound of this. I'd like to connect to my children more. I work in a predominantly minority, you know, school district. Is this something that they can look at? How do you, I guess, assuage their, you know, fears or their hesitations because they're not familiar or from these cultural backgrounds?
Right, right. That's a really great question. And we're asked that a lot. And we come across that in our daily work. What we do is we leverage hip hop culture as a tool for storytelling. That's ultimately what it is. And a lot of teachers, unfortunately, were taught to teach content and not human beings. And so they struggle with vulnerability. They struggle with empathy. They struggle with even just listening because they're so busy, you know, being a dictator instead of a facilitator. And so what the curriculum does is gives them a resource. So what we're learning is that teachers are finding more about themselves through the curriculum, which is then impacting the students. And so we've had a lot of teachers say, you know, I wasn't prepared. I wanted to talk about what's happening with George Floyd, but I didn't know how. And so your curriculum gave me a tool for me to, A, understand that I need to create a space for students to just be able to hear their own voices. It's not about my voice, it's about the student's voice. But your curriculum gave me the resource and the tools in order to create that space. And it made me look at myself and maybe some biases that I had a little differently. And so what I love about it is that it's not just impacting students' SEL competencies, but is also impacting the adults and causing them to be more reflective and step out of their comfort zone to have more vulnerable conversations with young people.
What are some of the results of that? Like, what have you seen from teachers or heard from teachers? You said they want maybe a couple of just more anecdotes where they say, I have now been able to do this thing that I didn't expect to be able to do. What are some of the kind of the success stories?
Yeah, a lot of them are saying that the communication. So just to backtrack a little bit, most of the schools that use We Do It for the Culture use it during the time of day called advisory or a social emotional learning block. Now, that's a whole nother conversation because social emotional learning should be happening all day, not just in a block. Right. But
it's like social and emotional learning month.
Right.
Okay. Got you.
It is actually SEL week next week.
It should be
looked at as another thing to do. It should be something that is embedded in, you know, your daily practices. But with that said, most schools use We Do It for the Culture during advisory. And so advisory can either, well, first let me define advisory. It's a time of day where teachers kind of take off their teacher hat and they serve as a mentor or coach to a small group of students. And they get to know those students really well. And it helps to build kind of a sub community within the larger school community. So those students get to know each other well. And, you know, a lot of times schools bring their advisories together for different experiences or competitions, anything to help make the community more positive and equitable and inclusive of all students. And so during advisory, when they're using the curriculum, what we're noticing is that they use it at least 40 minutes a week, that the connections not only between student to student are stronger, but now the connections between the adult and students is even stronger. They're noticing that students that are more apt to not speak, a lot of introverted students are starting to speak up because now, again, they're creating this safe and brave space where, you know, they feel comfortable in making their voice heard. And so that for us, that's what it's all about. You know, we could do a lot of independent studies, research studies and all those things, but it's hard to just measure humanity, right? Just the connections that we have between people from different backgrounds. And so that's, you know, that's what we're most proud of.
What's so now the opposite of that, I guess, is what's not the opposite. What are the failures? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you said teachers don't like to be vulnerable. Nobody likes to be vulnerable, right? Nobody likes to put that on display. And so what are some of the things that I guess social emotional learning or social emotional teaching or the teaching of it has become, mm-hmm. you know, more prevalent in educational spaces. Right. What are some of the fears and hesitations that teachers specifically have that this helps kind of overcome, I guess?
Yeah, a lot of even myself when I was in my educational process and becoming a teacher, you know, there's this stigma like don't smile until November, right? You always have to look like you are the head of your class and control your, you know, they actually use words like control your classroom. And that is a very, you know, top down, oftentimes creating spaces for more, you know, when things happen, more punitive measures. That's not the type of environment that we want to create. And so helping teachers to kind of unlearn all of those things, you know, talk about the miseducation of teachers.
Right.
You know, shout out to Lauryn Hill. That's one of the things that they need to change. And for a lot of them, especially those that may be, you know, a little older, it's hard for them to kind of get out of that mode. However, once they do, they're able to see that, okay, as a human being, I'm just maybe a little older, but I come to the table with all of these experiences. As a young person, you're coming to the table with all of these experiences. What experiences do we share? What experiences can we learn from each other? And so for those that are reluctant, 9 times out of 10, those same adults that struggle with building relationships with their students, they struggle building relationships outside of the school, outside of the workplace, right? And so, you know, they may be really passionate about their content area. You know, I really love science. I really love math. But I don't know how to make math connect to my students. So if you're not able to make that connection, what are you doing?
Right. And hip hop can be a conduit to that, too. Like this is you just said content area. It's content area agnostic. Mm-hmm. Right. In a way, it doesn't matter. Like you could be a math or a science teacher. How does that like specifically as an example, you know, those connections can be made?
Yeah. Like hip hop. I learned geography growing up by listening to hip hop, you know, you know, AFRICA, Angola, Soweto, Zimbabwe. I could break it down. Right. Like I learned geography. I learned, you know, mathematics, you know, listening to Yazeen Bey, Mos Def. Like hip hop is universal. And just the science behind hip hop, the rhythm, the beats, you know, counting the measures. You know, I grew up playing the piano and I had a metronome and I had to count the measures. Like, you know, all of that is connected to hip hop culture, spoken word, making sure that you're bringing in different vernaculars and all those things into your ELA classes. Like it's so connected. I think the biggest space where we see a lot of teachers not just using We Do It For The Culture in their SEL blocks or advisory blocks is they're starting to use it in their English classes in addition to their history classes. Because again, we think about, you know, promoting social justice and social awareness, you know, there's a lot of stories that go into that work. Right now, we're about to create a lesson to elevate youth voices in Palestine. So looking at MC Abdul, his latest track, Pen Greater Than a Sword, like that's a powerful track coming from a young person. But from a historical perspective, now you can connect what's happening right now to what's been happening, you know, for decades. And so these are just ways that, you know, hip hop is impacting education. And I'm really glad that more schools are open to seeing the power of hip hop pedagogy in their schools.
Now, that's my next question. Actually, we talk about this to a lot of folks that are trying to get into the schools, get into the systems. Is it become easier in the past few years? I know, obviously, the perception against hip hop, you know, we don't have to harp over it. We all know what that is, generally speaking. Sure. But we also know that all these things that you're saying, this isn't like overnight. This has been happening. We got the receipts. Right. It works. It's effective. Right. And there's been programs and research and literature and all the things. Mm-hmm. So overall, as you approach schools or as schools approach you, maybe is that hesitation lessened over the past few years? Are we getting in a better space with being able to do this on a greater level? I also look at things like what states like Florida are doing. I'm like, well, they're not going to go for it. Like, how does that work, you know, in the general grand scheme of things?
Yeah. I think when school districts want it bad enough, they'll figure out a way. Right. And so based on what you just said, I will say, like, we have curriculum happening in schools in Texas. And because we're on a public platform, I'm not going to tell you which ones, because there's such a disdain. There's such a.
Right.
And so I don't even want to bring that district up. But to know that in Texas it's happening, I think the importance is, how bad do you feel as though your students need it? Right. And so we're now in districts that I never expect we would be in. Like, our second largest is probably Portland, Oregon. And we know about all the different racial tension that Portland has, you know, experienced over the years. But now, and we still have a percentage of teachers that are not 100% on board. But here's the great thing about this, right? I'm going to ask why. What's holding you back, right? Why don't you want to engage in this conversation? Let's get to the root of it. So this is just a conduit to having much bigger conversations about race, about equity, about economics, about, you know, biases. Like, this is what we're going to talk about. And hopefully by the end of this conversation, this experience, you're a little more, you know, interested in getting past those personal barriers that you're creating for yourself to actually use the curriculum. Because that's what they are.
It starts with us grownups, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. Yeah, it absolutely does. And then to your point earlier, you said most of us understand the culture, but unfortunately, that's not the case. Right. We're seeing more and more that a lot of people still have this perception of hip hop culture as rap culture. And I'm one of those people where I make the distinction. Yep. And so when we go into a district or a school, we do trainings, or we may be doing a pilot, I make sure that I, you know, separate rap culture and, you know, whether it's, you know, homophobia, sexism, violence, all of those, you know, narratives, I separate the capitalistic side of the culture from what it was originally intended to be. So I make that distinction because there are still a lot of stereotypes about what it means to be a part of hip hop culture. And so by having that conversation alone, a lot of teachers then start to let down their guard a little bit.
Yeah. Also having media outlets with people that also emphasize that very important fact that gets lost in the sauce.
Absolutely.
Because, as you know, it's important to erase those narratives. Confront them. And make the distinctions that you do. And that's important because, you know, as we know, again, this is just saying things that we inherently know, you know, finding a way to get it into the right places and drop the seeds and the gems in front of the people who have the ability to make the world a better place through their positions. And so that's the work. And it's wonderful. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about the specifics of the thing that I found really interesting. But I just want to, before I forget, there are schools that take, I'm just kind of the logistics of it, schools that accept the curriculum. Can teachers do this independently, or does it have to come through the school district? So if teachers are like, my district's not going to go for it, but on the low, you know, I want to get involved. That's possible too?
Yes, absolutely. So we have parents that sign up. And
I was going to ask for parents too. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, parents, teachers, program providers for, you know, youth development programs. So it runs the gamut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. So it's like you said, it's universal and that's great. And it's accessible. So that's fantastic. I love how you tied in earlier. So the knowledge of self to self-awareness, like these parallels, right? To the pillars, the tenets of social and emotional learning. I loved how on the site we do it for theculture.com. Mm-hmm. You list some of the lesson plans and some of the, you know, the ways that you do this. The ability, like what you learn from being a DJ, you know, and like the things mm-hmm. you learn about. You know, I know I've been a DJ for, I've been everything, right. But I've been a DJ for a long time. And the idea of just like, and again, we know this, but we don't hear it sometimes. Even DJs that are connected to the culture and all up in it mm-hmm. say that reading of the room, you know, right. I mean, that ability to know what's happening, to judge it, like that's a very social skill.
Yeah.
So give me a couple of those like parallels of like something we wouldn't expect to know. I mean, we talk about the power of the cipher, and Tony Blackman's mm-hmm. talked about how you know what to do in the cipher. No one tells right. you what to do in the cipher, but you exactly. just learn the social cues. This is the stuff mm-hmm. we're talking about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's a segment of our training that we do with teachers, and we talk about the five different elements of hip hop, and we get them to connect, because oftentimes teachers don't even realize that they're doing some of those things naturally. You know, right. whether it's call and response, you know, that's relationship skills, right?
And I've seen the sitting in a circle, you know, like this is the way we communicate better. Like, yeah, that's the cipher. We know this.
Yes, absolutely. Right. And so, you know, what we try to get them to do is push themselves a little further. So how do you get to the point where your classroom can operate like a cipher without saying these are the rules of our classroom, right?
Right.
Because in a cipher, there are no rules, right? But people respect the flow. And right. so helping teachers to understand how to, you know, ways to cultivate the environment so that it just flows naturally and students aren't disrespecting each other. You know, they're not talking over each other. They're, you know, they're connecting with their voices to other voices seamlessly. Like that is what we're trying to get them to understand. And a lot of these things they may already be doing. Mm. So yeah, they serve as, you know, the MC for their classroom, but they're not the only MCs. All of those young people in front of you, they're MCs too, right? And so how often are you giving them the mic? Are you holding the mic the whole time? Or are you passing the mic? And so we make all of these, you know, analogies and connections to get them to understand that, again, this is great teaching, right? Hip hop is pedagogy in action, and getting them to understand that they're doing it already or they're not doing it. Let me help you figure out ways that you can cultivate the space so that these things are happening a little more organically and your students are engaged.
I love it. And, as many of us who end up where we are, where you are, it's not a straight path. I guess I'm curious, like how you got here, how you got to doing this, like what, this will probably take a long time if you're like anyone else that has a lot of converging, you know, paths all over the place. So we can get the Cliff Notes version, but you know, sort of what was your connection to hip hop? How did you take that into education? And then how did this kind of evolve out of it? Those three key milestones in your life.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to give you the quicker
I know,
version.
I get it. If people ask me too, I'm like, how much, I've got some years on me. That's going to be a while. A lot of things happen along the way. But tell me, yeah, I'm curious.
I will share the foundation. I will definitely share the foundation. So
and you're from where?
Yeah, I'm from Philly. My father's from Harlem. My mother's from Bermuda. So my hip hop really came from my father. So. Yeah. He's, you know, as Jay-Z said, you know, he was the type of guy that could sell water to a whale, right? So he's always had the gift of gab. When I was young, about 8 years old, he started a store in West Philly called the What's Happening Now Shop.
Okay.
And he was so in tune with his community that he positioned, and he was a salesman, right? So he positioned the store. It was kind of like a bodega or a corner store. Okay. He positioned it right next to three schools. So we were right behind West Philly High School. So on any given day, the shop will be flooded with high school students coming from West Philly High. They were coming to get their fat shoelaces, their penny candy, you know, Slurpees, you name it. Right. They were in there, or icings as we call them in Philly.
I'm from New York. There were Slurpees. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the spot. That was the place to be. And so he would pump, you know, his favorite song was Jam On It. So okay. He would pump out music in these big woofer speakers, and literally, like, kids would just come in droves, come into
the spot. It was a spot. Day.
It was the spot. And so I'm 8 years old behind the counter, you know, selling penny candy, you know, and I'm interacting and I just see it, and it's a vibe, right? Before I knew what a vibe was, it was a vibe. Right. And that just always stuck with me. And he would be the first one to bring in, you know, the mixtapes. I remember he brought me my first EPMD, you know, cassette tape. Like, he would be the one to bring me all this, because now he had relationships with the local DJs and radio stations. And so later on, my dad became a printer. So he and my mother started a company in Philly called Imprints Unlimited. They would make the passes, the backstage passes and the tickets for all of the shows. And so they sold the business that now my dad's an ancestor. So I can say this now. So I would get all my backstage passes.
Of course. Oh, one fell off the printing press. Oops. That's brilliant.
I would get all my backstage passes. So there's I've seen so
talk
many.
Talk about the plug.
Yeah, right? Plug.
Yeah.
So I had so many experiences. And so I was just like embedded in the culture the entire time. Yeah. You know, the entrepreneurial aspect of it. I'm third generation entrepreneur. So fast forward to me becoming an educator. I became an educator, and I talk about it in a couple public spaces, but long story short, I was involved with somebody that really wasn't good for my health. And he had two nephews that were not, they were young and they weren't being taught their ABCs, 1, 2, 3s. And I was in a weird place in my life where I would spend a lot of time with those two young people. And I realized that I enjoyed going there, not to see the knucklehead I was dealing with at the time, but I was enjoying bringing books and reading to them and teaching them ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. And then when I went to Lincoln University in Pennsylvania, and I became an education major because I wanted to be a creative director, but they didn't have that program. So I ended up being an education major, and that literally changed my life. And so I've always used hip hop as, again, like a conduit, something to connect, because I was really into hip hop. And I just also assumed that all students across the world were interested in hip hop. So when I moved from Philly to Baltimore, I got a rude awakening from a cultural perspective. Now I'm only 21 years old, so I just make all of these blanket assumptions. But when I'm in Baltimore, they were like, now we listen to club music. And so I was like, oh, word. So now I have to shift, right? So I bring in some house, you know, but I will also bring in some club. And so I was still bringing the house that's connected to, like, you know, Jungle Brothers and things of that nature. Right,
the hip house.
The hip house, right. Yeah, uh-huh, yeah. But I would still learn, like, who are you all listening to? And so I would bring that into the space. And then eventually I became an assistant principal. And after that, just started my own company because I wanted autonomy and I wanted the ability to help schools create these spaces. I was really blessed to come from schools that had really great leadership and built really strong community. And I wanted to replicate that for other schools across the nation. So that's why I kind of started the consulting business. And then through that work, I really noticed that schools didn't have a culturally responsive SEL curriculum to use with their students. A lot of it is very, you know, Leave It to Beaver, you know, very outdated concepts. Right. And our students, that's not the way they learn. They have to be fully immersed in whatever it is that you're talking about. So you got to make those authentic connections. And that just wasn't happening with the curriculum that was out there. And so I just decided, you know what? I need one that's going to center the culture, center our voices. And that's why I created We Do It For The Culture. So a little longer than the Cliff Note version.
No, I love it. I love it. I was born right outside of Philly, actually, but I grew up on Long Island. So when you say EPMD, I'm like, yeah, that's what's up. And I also know, I happen to know, because I watch other interviews that we share, our number one top five that are alive in Rakim. So Strong Island in the house. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's it.
A couple more questions before you go, if you could be so kind. One is, and this is the overarching holistic question, right? In the field, in the work that you're doing, you know, it seems to some of us, and I'm sure some sometimes yourself maybe, and folks that work with you, that while these strategies and integrations and intersections are so valuable and are so good at helping uplift the educational lives of young people across the board, right? Mm-hmm. Again, this is universal. This works. You know, a lot of times people say, well, you know, this will be great in the inner city. Well, no, yes. And it'll be, it can be used anywhere. There's white people right. in Idaho that like hip hop too, or will connect to you. You don't have to like hip hop. You'll connect to the, you know, because you stories. Listen to the music. Yeah. And yeah. But also, most important, it would probably be best beneficial to the lives and livelihoods and communities that have been traditionally underserved and mm-hmm. under-resourced and under-loved. So for all the reasons, this is brilliant work, and it's important and vital for the equality and equity of our nation as a whole.
Right.
Not everyone wants that, though, right? No. And so you have states, you have districts, you have perhaps on a federal level. You're going to have, you know, this is not an easy battle, even though the receipts are clear and we feel good about it.
Right.
Overall, I don't want it to seem like it's hopeless that this would ever be something that could be used in a mass scale. But I know people ask that all the time. Mm-hmm. I was just at a panel here in Atlanta. I'm in Atlanta these days. I did the thing that New Yorkers do and I moved to Atlanta. And it was about the intersection of hip hop and social justice. And one of the questions was, I'm sure there are people doing this kind of hip hop education integration that came up in pockets over here and over here and over here. But there's no like web or connectivity or whatever. And I said, well, first of all, you know, Hip Hop Ed, you know, check out the family that does that. And there is a coalition, let's just say.
Yes. Shout out to the
fam. So again, I'm asking holistic. I'm asking to solve. Can you solve the whole thing in one sentence? But I'm saying, like, what do we have to do as a society, as individuals, to help make this be more widely understood or more widely adopted in the education system as a whole? Like, what are some of the things? Besides, obviously, bring the curriculum in and do all the things. You know what I'm saying? I know it's a big holistic question.
Right. It is a big question, but kind of like the individual conversations that I have with teachers all over the nation when they are reluctant, I ask why.
Yeah.
And that is those three letters.
Right.
Lead to such great conversations, because a lot of times, you know, we don't know what we don't know. And the reluctancy for us to figure out what we don't know means oftentimes I now have to give up something that I've held on to for so long. I have to give up an ideology that I've held
it's
on
baked
to.
In. It's baked and, in. You got, yeah.
Deep.
Yeah.
And if I give that up, who am I?
Right.
And a lot of people do not want to peel back those layers because of fear.
Yeah.
Period.
Okay.
And so if we can address that, then people may take down their guards to learn something new. And so I think it has to start with reflection. I think it has to start with us asking why. And that's for all of us, right? Because we all have rights that we need to address. And so when we ask those, peel back those layers and ask ourselves why, then we also have to listen. I feel like now, you know, listening is, you know, thank goodness for podcasts. So people are starting to listen more. But, you know, listening is an art. It's not about thinking about what you're going to say before the person is finished speaking. It's about literally listening and then feeling what they're saying, empathize with what they're saying, and then doing the research. So don't take anything for face value. Go and do the research behind what was just shared. And so those three things, self-awareness, getting out of our comfort zone and pushing past the fear, accepting the fact that we may have to let go parts of ourselves that we've held on to for so long, and then building those connections and doing the research. Most people don't want to do that because they're on autopilot. Yeah. And so I'm grateful for, you know, podcasts like yours and, you know, platforms and curriculums like mine that is helping people to kind of pause and think. And when that happens, I think it's magical once we can break down those walls and those barriers that we create for ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. And in fact, those three things, you know, being, you know, coming out of your comfort zone and relationship skills, that's all stuff you can learn from hip hop. So anyway, it's all part of the game. It's all part of the same.
It's all the connected. Same.
I love it. I'm very, as you know, as I think you know, or you should know, I've, you know, obviously been watching what you've been doing for a long time, been wanting to talk to you about it for a long time. I think that this serves to do some of that. Like when folks listen, I know we preach to the choir a little bit, you know, I know with a lot of folks that follow all these ideas listen to the show, but I do know for a fact that there are folks outside of what we do that pay attention. And this is a perfect primer to some of that, to start asking those questions or having them ask those questions to themselves. So I welcome folks to do that, you know, write in, tell us what you think, talk to, you know, reach out to y'all over there. We do it for the culture, the number 4culture.com. And I'll leave you, unless there's anything else that, well, let me ask you this and then I'll ask you that. Last question that I like to sometimes sneak into this is, I did name this show Hip Hop Can Save America. Mm-hmm. It's a very lofty idea, and we may need a little bit more than just hip hop. But without giving you the reasons why I named it that and why I believe in that sort of philosophy, mm-hmm. what do you think of when you hear that statement, when you first heard that, and your thoughts when someone says hip hop can save America?
Yeah. You can't heal what you're not willing to confront. And so I feel like hip hop can save America because it puts at the forefront all the different social ills that this country has given birth to for over 400 years, and it puts it right in your face, and you can't run from it. So you got to be able to confront it in order to heal. And so the way that we confront it is through social justice work, through education, through cultural exchange and understanding, through political engagement, through mental health awareness. But all of those things are right at your face, front and center through hip hop. And you can either run towards it and heal from it or run away from it. But hip hop is still going to keep going. We, you know, we don't die. We just multiply like gremlins. So
That's right. I hear you. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate your work. I appreciate your time and your perspective and your insight and being so generous in coming on here and talking about what you're doing. Is there anything else that the program's got coming up that you personally have going on that you want to share with the folks who might be interested in hearing what's next or what's ongoing?
Yeah, so we're excited to launch a series of asynchronous lessons so that teachers can actually log on and get some self-development work outside of us coming into doing training. So we're really excited about that. And we're looking forward to working with some really dope educators and practitioners in the space to collab on some of these. And so we're really excited about that. But right now we're in 15 states and growing. And, you know, we're just grateful for the opportunity to make an impact.
Yeah, well, I hear that. I'm grateful for the opportunity to know you and to amplify and signal boost what you're doing. And you're welcome to come back anytime you have some, you know, new things popping that you want us to share with the folks. But other than that, I really thank you for your time. I appreciate
you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for everything that you're doing for the culture, Manny.
I appreciate that appreciation.
Once again, thanks for listening to another episode of Hip Hop Can Save America, a.k.a. the world's most important hip hop podcast. My name is Manny Faces. You can find out more about the show at hiphopcansaveamerica.com. You can watch the show now as a live stream on YouTube, hiphopcansaveamerica.com/watch. Check back for all the replays as well. The interviews from the live stream will be brought here onto the audio feed, so you always get the best of the live stream. You can also check out our Substack newsletter. It's free at mannyfaces.substack.com, filled with stories of hip-hop innovation, inspiration, and in general, hip-hop news that isn't about dumb shit. Eternal shouts to our consulting producer, Summer McCoy. Be sure to check out her dope initiatives, Hip Hop Hacks, and the Mixtape Museum. We'll be back soon with another dope episode, but check us out on the live stream as well. Mondays, 9 p.m. Eastern, hiphopcansaveamerica.com/watch. Until next time, it's Manny Faces wishing peace and love to you and yours.